Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
God bless you today. Well, Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to once again gather and pray. And Lord, as we look at another prayer in the Bible, always seems to be such a wonderful prayer. There's over 100 wonderful prayers in the Scriptures, Lord. And when we look at the context and we see the prayer, it is always uplifting and always instructive. It would seem for us to see how others have prayed, and in John 17, even see how you pray. But Lord, lead us now as we look at this one prayer in the book of Colossians, and then as we go to prayer this morning. May your will be done, and may we be led as one by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we are in the Colossians prayer. We had the Philippians epistle prayer last week, and a couple of times before that we had the two in Ephesians. And so we just want to keep in mind these prayers were all written by Paul in prison. If you were in prison writing to the outside world, would you have your prayer 100% about them, or would you have it about 99% about you and how tough it is in prison and how, please pray for me because, you know, I've got it so rough? Well, you'll see here there's a very instructive prayer, I think, again for us today. And we see how Paul prays. And who's he praying for? He's praying for people he's never met. He had never been to Colossae, and the only thing he knew about Colossae was what their pastor, we believe their pastor, Epaphroditus, had told him about them. But we have a real key there right in the very first, and I'll read it in just a minute, but the real key was, to you who know the grace of God in truth. And because of this, then he has this prayer, because they are like-minded, they know the grace of God in truth, and so now he's going to pray, and as you listen and look and read this prayer, you will see he's praying, again, like with the others, particularly in Ephesians 2, impossible things. He's praying impossible things to know, you know, all there is to know about God, to be filled with the knowledge, to be fully worthy of the Lord. Now, isn't that great prayer? Isn't that great prayer? Something that we can never do on our own, something that you can never do on your own, but here he's praying for that to be done through the Lord Jesus. And so, let us begin by singing just this familiar Fanny Crosby hymn, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, and the words are on the very top of the very first page. Let's sing along this particular hymn and sing with meaning and just pray to the Lord through it.
Thank you.
as we turn to this epistle to the Colossians, and I'll just read the first few verses, we get into the prayer in verse 9 of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all. All, by the way, 29 times in this little epistle. And we have so many aspects of all here. And of course, anytime you're talking about all, that's beyond anything we could ever do on our own, for sure. But for your love of all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before, in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, or all of Colossae, and is bringing, Colossae area, and is bringing forth fruit as it is among you since the day you heard, and then this is the key here in a way, and knew the grace of truth in God. I think that's what he's going to refer to in just a minute when he says, for this reason. I think the reason is they knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So this is all that Paul knows about the people in Colossae, is what they've heard through, we believe it's their pastor, Epaphras. And so he's writing to a body of Christ that he's never met, and it's very encouraging when I think about that, of praying for the lost, and when I think about praying for other people that I don't know. I don't have to know them personally to pray for them. Paul didn't know any of these people to pray for, and yet the Spirit would lead him. But they had this in common. They had the word of truth of the gospel. They heard of the faith in Christ. They had the love for all the saints, and they knew the grace of God in truth. So we then get into the prayer in verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, heard that you knew the grace of God in truth, what? Do not cease to pray for you and to ask. Here's the first that, and we always want to look at what's after that in a prayer, because that's what the issue of the prayer really is. And to ask that, number one, you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. Now, that word knowledge there means full knowledge, that we may be filled with the full knowledge of his will. We know his general will, but I think we also need to pray for his kind of special will, specific will, particularly with regard to timing. So many things, times we know God's will, there's no question about it, but we don't know what the timing is. And sometimes we get ahead of the Lord. And it's easier to go through an open door than it is if we had to get out of this room and you said, well, I'm going to go through that wall right there. I don't care how long it takes me, I'm going to go through that wall. And all the time the door over here is opened by the Lord, that's not really a good thing. So we want our timing to be in accordance with the will of God. But he's praying to ask that you may be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all wisdom. How much is all wisdom? That's more than we have, isn't it? But that's the prayer. Be filled with knowledge of his will and all wisdom, and then what? Spiritual understanding. You'll notice he doesn't pray for physical things here. He doesn't pray for their health. He doesn't pray for their wealth. He doesn't pray for their suffering. All of these are worthy prayers to be sure, but he's praying for something even higher than that. He's praying for spiritual things for them. Praying for spiritual things for them. And then the second that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Are you walking worthy of the Lord? Well, I don't know. I sure wish I would. Sometimes I do. But here's a good prayer, isn't it? Pray for the believers that they would walk worthy of the Lord, because that's the way Paul is praying here, that you would walk worthy of the Lord. Well, what is worthy of the Lord? How else is that described here? Well, the second phrase says what? Fully pleasing him. Would you look at your life and say you're fully pleasing him? Well, probably not. At least I'm not fully pleasing him. Some of the times I think I please him, but some of the times I think I, you know, it's kind of like your bank. You know, at times you put money in, at times you pull it out, right? And how big is your credit balance now? But fully pleasing him. And then the next thing is, you got the picture yet? Yeah. Oh, there's more. Being fruitful in every good work. Are you fruitful in every good work? You'll be fruitful in every good work if you're abiding in Him. If you're not abiding in Him, you can put all the elbow grease in the world. You can blast through all the things you want to do in your own strength, and it'll count really pretty much for nothing. But being fruitful in every good work. And then the last one in this little clause is what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you doing that? Are you really increasing in the knowledge of God? How do you do that? Well, I think you spend time in this 1,189 chapters that are in here. And I don't care how many times you read it, you can always learn more when you spend time with Him. And you don't have to read a whole chapter. You can read a verse or maybe one word or maybe two words. But increasing in the knowledge of God. So those are the things He's praying for them, that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and then that they would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So those are the petitions for the people. Now the second thing here He's asking, that's all the benefits for them in a sense, all the ways that they should be living. The second thing though is being thankful. The rest of this prayer is all thanks to God for what He's done. So as we read through this, how thankful are you in your prayers? Well, here is what He's praying for them. I think I cut it off a little bit soon. 11 is still a petition. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. So He prayed for that for them as well. I jumped the gun a little bit on Thanksgiving. Strengthened with all might. Again, there's another all in there, isn't there? All might. How would you like to be strengthened with all of God's might? That's pretty strong, isn't it? Again, that's some impossible thing in our own way of thinking, but it's not in God's way of thinking. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, not according to someone else's or according to your best day that you've ever had, but according to His glorious power. And then for all patience. How many of you have all patience? Anybody in here have all patience? I don't think so. That doesn't come very easily, does it? For all patience and long-suffering with joy. How many of you have long-suffering with joy? I think that's something we can pray for, right? Because there's no way in the flesh you'll ever have any of that. You won't be patient, and you certainly won't. When you're long-suffering, you're not going to be joyful. You're going to be sad, aren't you? How long is this going to be? You know, we want to go back to Egypt. I don't like this manna every day, you know. But long-suffering with joy, with joy. And now, shifting now in verse 12 to thanksgiving. Giving thanks, giving thanks. He's praying for them to give thanks to the Father who has done what? Well, first, He's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, those of you who were in the study on 1 Peter, or remember 1 Peter, that beautiful phrase there beginning in verse 3 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter says, what? Thanks be to God, who, because of His abundant blessing, has given us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to what? To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of faith to God for salvation. And then it goes on from there. But here is this inheritance, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So as sinners, we are not qualified to do that. We cannot have that inheritance of a righteous and perfect God if we are blotched up by sin. We've got a death warrant on us, and we can't have that inheritance. But if we believe that through the blood of Christ that's been taken care of, then Christ sees us. We're seen as righteous in His righteousness, not in ours, in His. And because of that, we are promised this inheritance, aren't we? We're promised to be inheritance of the kingdom of God, joint heirs with Christ, we read. And here this is, we give thanks for that because He's qualified us. And going on, He has delivered us. In verse 13, He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Are you thankful for that? Are you thanking God every day for that? I'm not, but I should be, because the power of darkness is the pits, isn't it? The power of darkness, the power of sin in an unbeliever's life is such bondage. We're in such a slavery position to sin as unbelievers. But he's delivered us from the power of darkness. And then he's conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. What does that mean? Well, that really is kind of like a term that would be readily understandable in those days, because in those days, oftentimes when a king would conquer a country, he would take the people in that country, particularly Assyria was big for that. He would take the people in that country and move them out. He would convey them over to another kingdom, because in another kingdom, they didn't know anybody, they didn't know anything. They couldn't really resist. They couldn't have a riot or rebellion in their own homeland because they're gone, and he would bring the other people into the homeland. So that's where the Samaritans came from in Israel, because they brought in those foreign people, and then, you know, it got all mixed up because they weren't Jews anymore. They were half and half, and nobody loved the Samaritans. But this is what he's talking about here. We've been conveyed. We've been taken out of this kingdom of darkness over here, and we've been moved into this kingdom of light as his child. Are you thankful for that? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You're a member of the kingdom of the Son of his love. Isn't that something? And then what does that entail? In whom we have what? Redemption. Aren't you glad you're redeemed? Aren't you thankful you're redeemed? When did you last thank the Lord that you're redeemed? Well, maybe it'll be today, and maybe it'll be often. In whom we have redemption, how? Through his blood. It's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood. Anyone who's not really teaching the importance of the blood is missing it, because that's why we're saved. Without his blood, we wouldn't be saved. But it's through his blood, and then not only the redemption, but it includes the forgiveness of sin. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So, what is he praying for? That they would give thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be his inheritors, delivered us from the power of darkness, and translated or conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And through his Son in that kingdom, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Father, we thank you for this wonderful prayer. And Lord, it is so awesome just to see how someone in prison would be used by you, Holy Spirit, as you would give him words and give him utterance to pen such a prayer as this. Totally unselfish, totally, in a sense, shooting for the heavenlies here, because these things that Paul is praying for are far beyond what our human capabilities are. There's no way by trying harder we can do any of these things. We can only do it by surrendering to you. We can only do it by submitting to you. We can only do it through abiding in you. And so, come into our hearts today, Lord. May there be room there for you. And may you look all around, and may everything be pleasing in your sight. May we not have any walls closed off or doors closed off or areas closed off at saying, well, that's not for you, Lord. Those are kind of dirty things in there, but I don't want to give those up. May we give them all up, Lord, and may you come in and dwell in our hearts. And Lord, help us now as you've given us that power of prayer. You've given us that ability to pray. And Lord, we want to pray as you would lead us. We certainly want to pray for your church. We certainly want to pray for the lost. We certainly want to pray for nations, kings, and those in authority. We want to pray for this nation, Lord. And we want to pray for anything you would put on our hearts as led by your Spirit. You know what we need to pray for. We really don't. And may we pray as led by your Spirit, Lord. So lead us now in these moments of prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.